You know, I'm just so fond of this church. It just gets me all choked up and mushy and gushy and ushy. You just amaze me, you know, faithfulness to serve, to give, to show up and be hungry, praise God. You deserve a pat on the back. Go ahead, just reach around, pat yourself right on the back. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm serious, though. It's like Christmas for me every day getting to do this, and I mean it. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, if you would, please. Hallelujah. We have enough people in this room to change this whole county. We do. Really, honestly, it's true. You know, if people get hungry and just be doers of this. Hallelujah. Father, I am so honored. Lord, you know my heart. You see right to my heart, Lord, how honored I am to be able to preach the word to people I consider family, people I love so dearly, Father, that you gave your life for. You gave so much of yourself for them to be blessed. And Father, I get to share the word with them. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor. And Lord, we're not here to hear from me ideas and philosophies and opinions and theories of man. No, we need to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth. You will fill it. And Lord, there will be boldness tonight. There will be utterance. I will speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, it will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Lord, we'll walk out of here changed. And Lord, you'll always get the glory. You'll always get the praise. Father, I know what I was like without you. And if there's anything good that comes from me, it's only because of you. And that's just the truth, Father. And so we'll never hijack or rob your praise or your glory. So, Father, help us tonight with insight, revelation, illustration. We thank you. We're going to a new level. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason, or it's not reasonable, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." The business they're talking about is the ministry of helps. It says, "But we, the ministers, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost," and then a bunch of other guys there, 6 other people, "whom," verse 6, "they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith," excuse me, "and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." I got to stop. Michaela, if you go to verse 7, it says the word of God increased after the result of this. After the result of what? People doing their part. People fulfilling their role. Don't you ever think that because you're not behind a pulpit preaching the word to people, or you don't have your own preaching public ministry, that you're any less valuable in the body of Christ. These people served and let the ministers do their role. They did their part, and it led to the word increasing and the disciples multiplying. Praise God. You know, the pastor has gifts that God's given him to or her to feed the sheep, to stand up here and to speak and to be able to minister and to bless your life. There's no doubt. But you know, a quarterback has a gift. Quarterback can zing that ball real good, can't they? But you know, you take away the quarterback's offensive line, and you take away the quarterback's wide receivers, and you take away the quarterback's running backs, and you take away the quarterback's offensive coach and the head coach and all the trainers and everything. You take them away and you just have the quarterback, that gift's not going to be able to do very much. Amen? You're valuable in this place. Amen? The ministry of helps is an honorable ministry, and it's a ministry that the majority of the body of Christ will fall into. But don't ever devalue it or think, "Oh, I'm not that important. I'm not up there preaching." Oh, no, that's just not true. Without you, there's no platform for this. And that's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see that that's not exactly what we're looking at tonight. Praise God, but it does remind us to serve and to be blessings that way. We're looking at the fact that Stephen here was a man in the congregation who did signs, wonders, and miracles. He wasn't in the fivefold ministry. What do I mean by that? He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, or a teacher. He was a congregation member. He was a sheep, praise God. And yet he was used mightily. Go with me real quick to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Now remember, when Jesus was on the earth, he was the actual physical body of Christ. He had arms and legs and fingers and eyes and nose. He was the body of Christ. But he is since gone and not here anymore. But the body of Christ has not gone anywhere. But he's still the head of the body. But we make up the body now. Well, the Bible says Jesus is the same. Yesterday, he was the body of Christ. So what he was doing yesterday, it says he was the same yesterday, today. But today his body is made up of many believers. And then tomorrow he said, I'll be the same. Today, yesterday, today, and forever. So what the body of Christ was doing back then, the body of Christ, since it's the same, should be doing the same today. And doing the same tomorrow when we wake up. Amen. Well, he gives us instructions here. In Mark 16 and verse 15, he says, go into all the world. The first word he tells the body of Christ is go. I heard one minister say this. Two-thirds of the word God is go. Go. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because he on the earth was going. And if we just leave it up to me and Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy, we'll go to an extent and we'll go to a measure, but we won't get into the nooks and crannies of your personal life and your family members and your get-togethers and your family reunions, at your workplaces, at your places that you shop and do business. I can only go to a certain extent, but the whole body, if the body does its job, can go to everywhere. And he gives us the assurance here. And I hope that you'll meditate on this and get it down in your heart to realize you have an anointing and this stuff will kick in if you'll do the very first word that he says, which is go. He didn't say these things will happen before you go. You have to first step out for it to work. And then God comes up behind you with a blessing. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You didn't know you were a preacher, but the Bible says you are. That just means proclaimer. That doesn't mean licensed minister. That doesn't mean pastor of a church. That doesn't mean traveling evangelist or apostle or a prophet. That just means someone that has a mouth and some vocal cords and a tongue and can put some words together. You all have a preaching ministry. And Jesus said to go into all the world. That means your family reunions. That means your Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. That means your Easter get-togethers, your birthday celebrations, your jobs and your family and your friends. That's what it means, all the world. Amen. The sinners, as again I look around tonight, I don't see anybody in here that's not heaven bound. Not one sinner is in this room tonight. Because this is not where they're hanging out. The sinner does not hang out in the church. But that's the very person we need to reach. And that's going to be outside these walls. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're just letting it be up to the pastors of family churches or in this camp that we're in or the people we see on TV, we can go to a certain extent and we can get a certain area and attack it with the gospel, but we can't get to all of it, but you can. Amen. And he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. So God's given you signs, praise God. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those are signs, praise God. It says in verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Well, isn't it the word that we want people to bite hook, line, and sinker? Because we know what this did for us. We know that if people would just put this to practice in their life, they'd get born again. They'd start to see their lives change. Peace entering in, joy entering in, prosperity entering in, victory entering in, health entering in. We know the power of this thing. But the Bible said that Jesus was a man, in Acts chapter 2, approved of God, or commended of God, demonstrated to be of God because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. Without the signs, wonders, and miracles, Jesus becomes the crazy guy on the street corner with the sandwich board that has John 3:16 written on it with the megaphone saying, Jesus is the way. If you don't receive Jesus, you're going to hell. And most people just walk right by that person, make fun of them, think they're crazy, right? When the guy at the gate in Acts chapter 3, the lame man got healed, people had seen him there for years, it drew an audience. Peter then preached the word. Peter went from being some crazy preacher of the word to somebody that had legitimacy because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. The Bible says many people followed Jesus because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. Many people believed in Jesus simply because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. And God says here, I want to confirm or make my word known to people that it's real, that John 3:16 is the real deal, that I died on the cross for them, that I give them opportunity to be born again. I'm going to confirm that and show people that that's not just crazy and that it's not just another religion and everybody believes how they want. And you believe what you want to believe, and you believe what you want to believe. Just don't bother me. No, no. He said, I'm going to show you the thing that's going to be different is there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles with my word that's going to show people, hey, this is different than what the Jehovah's Witnesses are preaching. This is different than what the Mormons are preaching. This is different than what the Muslims are preaching. Hey, this is different than what the Buddhists have to offer. They can't offer my children to be healed. They can't offer victory and peace that passes an understanding. Amen. It's true. Praise the Lord. And so he says he wants to give this to you if you'll go forward. See, think about the first thing he says, go into the world and preach. And that right there gets people so nervous. But here's the thing. If you'll renew your mind to this, God wouldn't tell you to do it if he wouldn't also fill your mouth when you actually go to do it. Amen. How many times I've heard people say, Pastor, I witnessed to somebody. And I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of my mouth. Up from my heart and out of my mouth. I was saying things. Verses were coming out of me. And I was speaking in a way I never thought. Why? You went and God followed with a sign and filled your mouth. Praise God. But until you go, these things don't kick in. The activation of the signs, wonders, and miracles is you actually going. You actually saying, let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. Hey, is there something you're going through? Let me help you with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the activation. And so we're looking at Stephen. Go back to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. We're looking at Stephen. We'll probably get to another characteristic of him tonight. About his life. Because if this was a man that the Bible pointed out. Notice the Bible didn't point out about the other six. That they were doing signs, wonders, and miracles. It points out about Stephen that he was doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And what was he doing? Serving in the ministry of helps. He was a congregation member. Amen? Amen? He wasn't in the fivefold. He wasn't in the full-time ministry. And here he was. But the Bible also mentions some things about him. And I believe the Bible put those in there on purpose. Because God needs vessels. We saw in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 20 that God wants vessels that are fit or prepared or meet or useful for the master. He can't use all vessels the same way. Amen? Some of his vessels, even though he loves all the vessels in his home, loves all the children in his home, some of them he just can't use because they're vessels unto dishonor. He said, but if we'll purge ourselves from these, we'll become a vessel unto gold and silver, fit or meet for the master's use. So God's looking for the fit people. God's looking for people that have it going on right spiritually to use them in his kingdom in a great way. And we see that oftentimes in the body of Christ, where there's people that have great ministries, miracles, signs, and wonders, but they got off track, they became vessels unto dishonor, and they're taken off the scene. Because they were given such a platform that their voice is so big and so strong that something has to be done to not steer people the wrong way. And we see that a lot of times. Ministers, powerful ministers. You know, there's a book called God's Generals that goes and talks about ministers that have finished their course and didn't finish their course. Ministers that had great signs, wonders, and miracles and died in their 30s. And they got off track. Well, it's because they were once vessels unto honor. They had a big stage, became vessels unto dishonor, and they had to be taken off the scene. Hallelujah, it's the truth. So God's looking for the right kind of vessels. And we saw the first characteristic about Stephen is he served, didn't he? Yes. Amen, he served. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be serving in our church. Praise God. Jesus said it's blessed to be a servant. It's blessed to, your greatest among you is a servant. Jesus said, I didn't even come to be ministered to. I came to minister. The very Son of God said, I came to serve. Amen. He demonstrated. And he said, there's nothing too low for me. He got on his knees and washed Peter's nasty feet as an example. And hey, I'm here to serve. This is what you ought to be doing, serving one another. Amen. We ought to be serving in the church. If the church needs it and we have the ability, that's your answer. You ought to be doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We saw last week, the Bible said he was a man, or whenever we saw it, I don't remember what it was, but he was a man of honest report. He had good character. Amen. So serve in good character. But let's go on tonight, Acts chapter 6. Let's go down to verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report. Now look at the next five words. Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is one third of God. The Bible's, now, I don't mean one third and take God and you split them in one third. No, because the Holy Ghost is just as much God as Jesus is God. God's just as much God as Jesus and the Holy Ghost. They're all equal. The Bible says three in one. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is God. So it says that Stephen was one of the seven that was full of God. Praise the Lord. And then look what it says in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Do you see that there? Yes. Now we're going to look at this today. So first characteristic of Stephen, we saw he served. Second characteristic of Stephen, we saw that he had good character. But the third characteristic of Stephen is he lived a life of fullness and of power, which you're going to need if you're going to be a goer. Amen. And come up, because when you endeavor to be a goer, there's going to be opposition against you. And you're going to need power to be bold, power to do what God said to do, power to step out, power to have faith, to actually do what Jesus said to do. And Stephen had it. Praise God. Well, go with me. What are we going to talk about with this power and this Holy Ghost business tonight? Go to Acts chapter 1. In verse 4, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from now. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now notice this. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and other uttermost parts of the earth. So verse 8 says you'll be filled with power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now here's what you need to understand. Go, I dare you to go look that word up in the Greek. I already did it for you, so I'll give you a head start. But if you don't believe me, you can check it out on your own. That word power there in the Greek means miraculous power. That when the Holy Ghost comes upon a person or they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and receive the Holy Ghost and continue to walk in a life of fullness, which we'll talk about tonight, you are endued with miraculous power on high.
Praise God.
Well, the Bible said Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and power and did great wonders, signs, and miracles. No wonder he did miracles. He was filled with miraculous power. And he actually had the nerve to go and let it be displayed. Praise God. That word also means ability, efficiency, and might. When people get filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't have time to teach this. I'm sure we've all heard me say this, preach this sermon before. Not this specific one, but along the lines of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That the evidence biblically, over and over again in the Word, four or five times, if not more, at least four or five, the evidence of one being filled with this miraculous power is what? Speaking in tongues. The Bible says they got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. And so this evidence, so he's talking about being filled. Now here's what I want you to see. What would be the reason that God would endue us on high with a power that's miraculous, efficient, it's an ability, and it's filled with might? Why would God do that when Jesus left? Well, he left the church with something, an ability, an efficiency, a might, miraculous power to go out and do what he said. Because look what it says in verse 8. You shall receive power, miraculous power that's filled with ability, efficiency, and might after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, remember he told them, do not leave until you get this. Why did he want them to get it? Because he knew you can't go out and win the world without signs, wonders, and miracles. That's how it confirms the word. And you can't have signs, wonders, and miracles without miraculous, efficient might and ability and power from him. So the reason he gave us the Holy Ghost and filled us with power was the same reason he gave them. He said, after you get this, go. Yeah. But don't go till you get it. But once you get it, I want you to go. Yeah. That's why he told us in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Yeah. But he didn't say go out empty-handed. He didn't say go out weak. Go out on your own ability. No. He said get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why when in the New Testament, when they would come across believers in the book of Acts, one of the first things they'd ask them is, did you receive the power? Did you get filled with the Holy Ghost yet? You need this power. Amen. And I said it and I'll say it again. I don't know everybody's personal walk with Jesus here. I know some of you. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I'm going to take it a step further tonight. If you're not consistently praying in tongues, you are living a life far beneath what Jesus has intended you to live, and you're missing out drastically. Amen. Well, why? You're void of power. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You don't want to be void of power. Ladies and gentlemen, we need power to complete Mark chapter 16. Amen. We don't have miracle working power on our own. But when God anoints us with miracle power and we renew our minds to that. See, some of you will renew your mind so much of this that you will absolutely go out and tear the devil up. You will realize I'm anointed. I have power. When I open my mouth, things happen. When I lay hands on the sick, things happen, glory to God. That's what he wants for all his children. The same thing with Stephen. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Praise the Lord. God has given us, ladies and gentlemen, means by which we can stay full of him or full of power. How many Christians? Now, why would God want this? Now, we see always in the Word, there's always a twofold reason for God blessing. We see it's always to bless his children, but then also for the kingdom. This is no different. You being filled with power absolutely will bless the kingdom, but it will absolutely change your personal life to walk around being filled with power. And just to be honest, the majority of Christians are walking around in a world that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that Satan is the god of. Satan is in charge of this planet. He is running the show here. Now the church, when the church stands up and is the church, we can take authority and overpower him, but we need power to be able to do that because he's very oppressive. He is will put pressure on you. He will absolutely oppress the living daylights out of you. And when he has no, what do I want to say? He doesn't play favorites. If you're a Christian, he's going after you. And if you're a Christian in a word church that's endeavoring to do the word, seek God and be a goer, you better believe you have a target on your back. And if you try to go out there with a target on your back, not filled with power, he will eat your lunch. The truth. That's why he gave us power. So he's given us means by which we can stay full of power. Let me tell you something. Life looks different when you're filled with power as opposed to when you're not. Amen. We know we're promised as Christians the same tests and trials that the sinners promised. The same tests and trials that come and absolutely bombard the sinner and keep them down and hurt their lives and keep them oppressed and depressed and anxious and worried. We're bombarded with the same things, but God's given us a supernatural charge up to help us go through these things, over top of these things, and trample these things under our feet. Amen. So he's given us a means. So I'll say this going forward. If you're here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues. And you say, how do I know? I don't know anything about that. Well, you can always call me, make an appointment with me. I'll sit down and teach you. We have classes that we've done on live stream where I've preached on it, had a Holy Ghost class. We could give you the date to go back and look that up, get faith on that. I could help you receive that. And if you're here tonight and you're somebody that at one time was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, but you don't ever pray in tongues, ladies and gentlemen, you are just as powerless as the person that hasn't gotten filled, because when you get filled the first time, you don't stay filled. Right. You know, I thought it was real, real nice of the dealership to fill my truck up the first time I took it off the lot. I thought that was real nice of them. But then I realized, as I use it and go up and down hills and run errands and go places, that the thing doesn't stay full. You got to refill up if you want to keep going. And I want to show you that it's not a one-time thing. Again, why do we want to live full? For the kingdom, but it'll change your personal life too. Amen. Amen. You know what? God is not grumpy. Come on. Did you know that? Amen. God is not, doesn't fly off the handle with temper problems. God doesn't, he never worries. He never gets frustrated. He never's afraid. Ever. He's God. And the more you stay full of him, the less you'll worry. The less you'll be angry. The less you'll be frustrated. The less you'll be worried. The less you'll be anxious. The less you'll be fearful. Why? Because when you're filled with him, those things are small.
Amen.
You know, God never talks bad about people and flips out on people and loses his love walk and has to repent. Never does, because he's God. Amen. And if you stay full of him, I'll tell you what, some of you need this with the families you're going to this Christmas season. I've heard your stories before. You need to be full.
Amen.
I should write what I was about to say on my iPad and put it in big letters, because I don't dare say it over live stream. Oh, man, let's just say this. We need to stay full. Amen?
Amen?
We so often lose our love walk. And the Bible says our faith is determined by our love walk. Our love is fueling our faith. Well, God never has a bad day. He never is frustrated, never is down, never worried, never gets angry, never is frustrated, never slacks off. And I'll tell you what, when you get full of him, life looks different.
Amen.
Amen. Life looks different. Praise the Lord. But it's not a one-time thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I remember the story Brother Hagin told about a woman. He overheard her talking about a service. And this service was on a church up in the mountains. And she had talked about the experience of when she was filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And she was talking about, oh, what a wonderful experience that was. And I've heard people tell me, boy, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I actually felt something in my body go through my body. I mean, I could feel God, you know, and it was such an awesome experience, and an experience of joy and power. And you just felt like things were going to be different. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And she was saying, that was so wonderful up on the mountain. But oh, I wish I could go back there. It was like a year or two later. She started talking about going back down into the valley. And how life was hard. And how life was difficult. And how life was tough. And it was just like trudging through a river of peanut butter with a straw for a paddle. I mean, that sounds hard to me. I don't know. That's the thing that always comes to my mind. And that's what life is like. And Brother Hagin thought, oh, how she doesn't know that it's not a one-time experience. That we can stay on top of the mountain all the time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. See, many people talk about their initial experience, but it's a daily experience. It's a lifestyle of living full. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you have to understand, praying in tongues is not the only way to stay filled with the Spirit. Being in the Word, being around the Word is a way to stay full. But because we're talking about the service and going out like Stephen in the context, we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost tonight and speaking in other tongues. But he says, be filled. Now, one translation, and if you'll study this, Greek scholars have studied the tenses of these verbs. This was not meant to be filled one time. The correct way of reading that should be ever, or be ye continually filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle of being full, going out, using up our reserves, coming back, tanking up, going out, using our reserves, coming back, tanking up. Amen? And so it's not just one experience, it's an ongoing experience. And so I want to ask you, when is the last time you took time to charge up, to tank up? Because the Bible says, go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifieth the church. But look at what the facts of the matter is about speaking in tongues. That speaking in tongues is a way to edify. That word edify means to build up, like on an edifice, rise higher and higher, or to charge up. Well, Jude, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse 20 says, beloved, building yourselves up sounds like a weightlifter, doesn't it?
Sure.
Building, taking time to build themselves up. You know, people don't end up in a powerlifting competition just because one day they decide, hey, I'm going to go lift 1,000 pounds. No, to do that heavy lifting, they took time to build themselves up. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Goes along with this verse. Speaking in an unknown tongue is a way to edify or charge yourself up. When is the last time you went and connected yourself into God and tanked up and filled up? Don't we need to do this with our cell phones?
Yeah,
how frustrated are you? I live on that thing. It's like, man, you know, you rely on that thing a lot. And it's so frustrating when I got to go out and go and I'm not near a charger and I'm not near a place where, I'm out where I can't plug it in, you know, and I forgot to charge it up the night before. And I wake up and I see I got to go, I don't have time, and the battery's low, and I'm limited in what I can do with that phone because I didn't take the time to charge up.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we go out into the world, Just like when you go out in your vehicle, when you are towing things or moving things or going up steep hills, you burn more fuel. Well, when we go out into the world, the oppression's going to be there pushing against us, and it's going to burn more fuel. And if we're going to be people that are going to say, you know what, I'm going to take this head on. I am going to do what Jesus said. I am going to go out into the world. I'm going to reach my family. I'm going to reach my coworkers. I'm going to be led of the Spirit. And in the grocery store, if someone needs to get born again, I'll tell them about Jesus. If a coworker says, hey, my kids are going through this, I'm going to step out and say, let me pray for them. What are you going through? What do you need? Just know that if you do that, the devil's going to be right there coming against you. And the only way you're going to be able to push back against him, remember the football team that I told you about? That the team played real good, and they got their rear ends handed to them, in a lack of a better way of saying it. That's the eloquent speaker that I am. That's how I talk. They got their butts handed to them. They got beat bad. And not only did the announcers observe it, and not only did the winning coach observe it, but the losing coach got up and said the exact same thing that everyone said. He said, it's not that they played better. It's not that we weren't prepared. It's not that we didn't have the talent. He said, we weren't strong enough. We got whooped up front, and we need to fix that in the weight room. We need to build ourselves up stronger. Well, the devil's going to be there pushing and pulling and biting against you to get you to stop. And if you're not filled with power, oh, it'll be so easy just to lay down. Let me give you an example. Go to John chapter 7 and verse 37. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress the importance and the value of praying in tongues. I had someone recently just tell me, they said, I'm amazed. This is how I just kind of put it in the Pastor Mike terms, but this is just what they said. I'm amazed at how much better I am personally when I take time to charge up. Yeah. It's the truth. You'll find that when you're filled with God, the little things that set you off, you know, water off a duck's back, don't bother you. The things that get you worried and get you afraid, oh, no, no, I'm filled with God. I got power, praise the Lord. Amen, it's true. But John chapter 7 and verse 37 says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly. That's where your spirit is. So he's saying out of your spirit. Will flow rivers. Rivers, not just streams, not just creeks, not just puddles. Rivers of living. That word living is the word zoe. The life of God flow out of you of living water. Well, what's he talking about? Verse 38 or 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. He's talking about the day of Pentecost. People before Jesus died and rose again could not receive the Holy Ghost because he had not yet been given. When was he given? Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind sat on him like cloven tongues, filled, and then everybody got born again after. He said, you need to get filled with this. The initial filling of the disciples was different than our filling, but we all have to have an initial filling. And so he's saying that with the Spirit, when people receive him, go back to verse 38, he said, out of their belly, their spirit, will flow rivers of living, or zoe, God kind of life, out of your mouth. From your belly, out of your mouth. When you pray in tongues, it's likened to a river that's going forth. What does a river do? A river is vital to life. Water is essential to life. I've read, you know, in studying this to get the idea of that river of living water flowing out. Now remember, that happens when you pray in tongues. You have to open your mouth to let the rivers flow. And you get edified, built up. And I've been, you know, studying on rivers and different places where rivers have dried up. And I read about one river where they diverted 90% of the river to go into another river. And so they could irrigate the lands. And the problem with that is it took the one river that they took the water from and it lowered it. And then when it lowered it, it raised the temperature of the water. And it killed off a lot of the fish and a lot of the farmlands and the communities in there suffered and struggled because it became a drought. Because there was no water flowing that gives life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Water, ladies and gentlemen, is essential to life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." What happens with rivers of water? That brings forth fruit in his season and shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. What's he saying in verse 3? Rivers give life that lead to fruit and prosperity. Amen. Amen. So now go back. I don't have any flip all over here. Go back to John chapter 7 and verse 38. So he says to us, when you pray in tongues, because he said, I'm speaking of the Spirit, out of your belly. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we... Nothing comes out of our bellies. It comes from our bellies, out of our mouths, but nothing goes... Right? It comes, when we pray, it comes up and comes out. And it's likened to a river of living water that's giving life and flowing God into every situation. And so he says here, this he spake of the Spirit. Verse 39 go to. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they should believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given. In verse 38 he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When a Christian doesn't pray in tongues on a consistent basis, it's likened to a river drying up. It's likened to drought conditions. Drought conditions are not good for people. They're not good for animals. They're not good for the land. Everything suffers when there's a drought. And when there's a drought spiritually, and that's what we have, is we have a lot of Christians living a drought lifestyle. And so when oppression comes through people or situations and mountains rise up, we have no power, we have no life. It's like drought and we're weak and we're feeble people because we haven't taken time to fill up and let the rivers flow and cause fruit to come and prosperity. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you know? You want to know a good litmus test of whether or not you're filled and tanked up enough? It's kind of like this. If you have a bunch of beverages in a dark pitcher and I can't see, you know, what it is, and there's 10 of them, and you blindfold me, you dip a sponge in one of those, and you say, Pastor Mike, and then you label all the different pitchers, 7-Up, Pepsi, milk, iced tea, lemonade. Pastor Mike, what did this sponge get dipped in? You know the way I'll know what it got dipped in is what comes out of it when it's pressed on. When the liquid starts to pass, oh, that's 7-Up. Oh, that's iced tea. Oh, that's milk that was dipped in. You want to know if you're filled? What's coming out your mouth, people? Is it victory? Is it faith and power and rejoicing and love and patience and mercy? Or is it doubt and unbelief and fear and grumbling and moaning and groaning and being short with people and being the person everyone's got to walk on eggshells? That's a good litmus test to know if you're charged. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Amen.
Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Woo, praise God. How do you know you're full? When things start spilling out of you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You ever been pumping your gas? I don't know, and all of a sudden it starts coming back out. Well, you know it's full. How do you know it's full? Because of what's coming out. We know what you're full of by what's coming out. Amen. We know what you're full of. You're either full of the devil or full of God. We know. We can tell. We see it spilling out of you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. Where's next? But be filled with the Spirit. Now look at verse 19 is the result of when you're filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I probably should say this one too. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it goes on and talks about husbands and wives. He said, hey, tank up first or things are going to be tough. That's what he's saying. Submission and submitting to one another and all those things, they're way easier when you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. But verse 19 is what's coming out of you. Hymns, songs, spiritual songs, making melody, just going through life like going through daisies. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Glory to God. Oh, I love you. Oh, that came against my finances. Oh, that's all right, Lord. You got this. You're Jehovah Jireh. Woo, you're so drunk on Him. Woo-hoo. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, they said that at my job. That's okay. If I lose my job, God will give me a better one. Praise the Lord. It's just that's what people do. They're filled with God because God has never one time been worried about one situation. Because He's God. He's never been fearful about one situation. He's never had somebody get on His nerves so much that He just snapped. Never happened because He's filled with Himself. God is full of Himself. I mean, that's somebody that's full of Himself, you know? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So how do you know you're filled? What's coming out of you? What's coming out of you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our response, and see, here's the thing is, our response matters, doesn't it? And we respond way better when we're filled with Him because He's always responded right. Let me say this real quick. We're almost done here. John G. Lake changed the world. You can study his life on your own. But John G. Lake had over 100,000 confirmed medical healings in 5 years. Confirmed. He was a general in the body of Christ. That man did so much for God. In fact, the testimony I've told you before, he was the one when the bubonic plague was going around. He knew he was so filled with God, he had the unction from the Spirit to show people signs, wonders, and miracles. They were looking at the bubonic plague through microscopes and they could see the living organism. He said, take that sample of the bubonic plague that you can see in the microscope that it's active and alive. He said, put it in my hand and then put it back on the microscope and watch it die. And they did, and it did, praise God, filled with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But this is what that man said. The making of my ministry. What ministry? Oh, I don't know. 100,000 confirmed medical healings in 5 years. Is that that's how many a year? Someone do the math. 100,000 in five. Is that 20? 20,000 a year is five. Yeah. 20,000 confirmed medical healings in 1 year times five. He said, the making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. That's what he said. The making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. Why? Power. See, here's the thing. Isn't it interesting? The early church, see, we because we've come from different backgrounds, and I'm included, we come from places they never talked about this stuff. We were in places for years, and it never got mentioned. So when you hear me saying it, there's a temptation to think, this is just some small part of the Bible that because we're kind of the charismatic Pentecostal church, that we talk about this stuff. But it was the very first thing that God dealt with His people about when He left, was tongues. The very first thing God said you need is to be filled with my Spirit, and the proof of it's going to be speaking in tongues. It's not some oblivious thing that should be swept under the rug, and we just pull it out because we want to be those charismatic people. This should be one of the main subjects in the New Testament church. Amen. Talked about. Amen. Every new believer that gets saved, the next question to them should be, the next thing should be, you got to get filled now. Yeah. That's what they did back then. Amen. They didn't start talking about prosperity. They didn't start talking to them about healing. They said, when you're born again, time to get filled. Yes. Because this is what Jesus dealt with us when we first got born again. Right. Amen, people. He said, the making of my ministry is tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, who could barely read and write, uneducated. You read the miracle signs and wonders. I can't even remember how many confirmed people were raised from the dead in his ministry. I mean, you got to have some kind of jack on your life to be raising people from the dead. Yeah. Some kind of power and faith in your life. Right. And praise the Lord. He said this, I'm one of the world's biggest conundrums. Here I am, uneducated, can't read and write, yet God uses me like crazy. Power flows from me, miracles, signs, and wonders. Listen to what he said. He said, the secret to my success has been praying in tongues. It goes along with what Jesus said, power, miraculous power. Amen. If this doesn't stir you up to want to be a tongue-talking fool, I don't know what will. Like one minister said, pray in tongues till your tongue falls off, pick it back up, put it back in, and start praying again. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said that tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. He said, the greatest things that happened in my personal life and in my ministry and in my finances, the greatest miracles, the greatest things that happened to me came after a prolonged period of praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. How about Lester Summerall, another man bold, full of faith and full of power. I believe it was Dr. Summerall. It's either him or Brother or Smith Wigglesworth. I believe it's one of those two. Either way, two men filled with the power of God. That the devil showed up in their bedroom. The manifested presence of the devil showed up in their bedroom at night when they woke up. Now, let's just be honest. Some of us would be running for a new pair of underpants. You know what he did? He rolled over, saw the devil standing in his bedroom and said, oh, it's just you, and roll over and went back to sleep. Amen. You talk about giving the devil a black eye. Yeah. But do you think God trembles at the devil? No. So why would somebody filled with God tremble at the devil? Right. Or the maneuvers and the schemes that the devil puts out. Right. So Lester Summerall said, and here's a man who changed the world in the Philippines. Fed thousands of hungry people. Miracles, signs, and wonders. They said, Dr. Summerall, how often do you pray in tongues? He said, when I'm not preaching. What's that mean? Every time he's not preaching in English, he's continuing a relationship with God, praying in tongues. Amen. I walk my dog and I pray in tongues. I drive in my vehicle, I pray in tongues. I take a shower, I pray in tongues. I pace my floor, I pray in tongues. I lay there and can't sleep at night, and I'm praying in tongues. Amen. Praise the Lord. What about Pastor Nancy Dufresne? Pastor Nancy Dufresne, you know, one of the things that we're not talking about tonight because we're talking about powerful ministry, but one of the blessings of praying in tongues is you pray out mysteries. You pray out your future. You pray the will of God and the path of God for your life. That's what Romans 8 says about it. And she had a breakup, you know, she was engaged to be married and it was a wrong relationship and it was a heartbreaking thing. And she took 3 weeks to spend a prolonged period of time praying in tongues. And it was not, I can't even remember if it was like a month or two later. It was a very short time. She met Dr. Dufresne, and they became the dynamic duo in the body of Christ. Amen. And she got filled and with all the knowledge and the power that he had and went forth, and she's still changing the world today. And she gives the credit to meeting him, to taking time to pray in tongues and to pray that future out, to pray that power. She was so down and out, but she built herself so up that God presented her with the man that was going to catapult her in her ministry. Praise the Lord. How about Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:18? He said, I thank my God. Who's Paul? Oh, I don't know, only the greatest Christian that ever lived. We talk about these men and women, but Paul's the greatest Christian that ever lived. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. He was bragging about how much he does it. Well, if you're bragging about how much you do it, there must be a reason you're doing it a lot. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll close there. I want to just tell us a testimony here. You know, being in the Word is another way. The Bible says that the Word is Spirit. And the more you're around the Word, the more you're filling your spirit up. I miss my little top to put my picks in. They're gone. Don't have a top anymore. And the Word is Spirit. So the more you're on the Word, the more you're built up. We see that in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The more you pray in tongues, the more you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've seen this in people. I've seen when people start getting offended, people start getting depressed, people start getting worried, people start getting in fear, people start getting down, people are really kind of having a tough go. If I really dig in there and get to the bottom of it, you know what I find across the board with all of them? Is their prayer and word time is almost non-existent. If there's any, it's minimal. It's like putting your phone that's on 1% battery, plugging it in for a minute, pulling it off and thinking you're going to be able to use it, or going to the pump and putting 25 cents in your gas tank and thinking you're going to be able to do very much. I remember I dealt with a person, was a family member years ago, and they were struggling bad from on top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley. And, you know, everything's down, worried, afraid of everything, grumbling, moaning, and groaning. That's not what gets God to move on your situation. God's only obligated to the hungry faith people. He's obligated to those people. And so I dug around and I said, how much prayer, how much are you praying in tongues? How much word time? And they said, Pastor Mike, almost nothing. I said, I know, it's showing up. Because what you're filled with is coming out. You're filled with doubt and unbelief. You're filled with grumbling. You're filled with moaning and groaning. And so I said this to them. They said, well, you know, because when you get down like that and the world comes against you, the last thing you feel like doing is getting in the Word. The last thing you feel like doing is praying in tongues. But the way that you can trump the whole feeling business is by renewing your mind to how vital it is for your life success. That's good. And this is the example that came to me. This person's mother was on dialysis, had bad kidney problems, needed to stay on dialysis. And if I remember right, it was at least 3 times, maybe 4 times a day that they had to get dialysis treatments. They had the machine and the equipment, but no matter where they were, no matter what they were doing, no matter what time of day it was, no matter if they felt like it or not, they had to hook up to that dialysis machine. And if they don't, they get real sick, real weak, and it can lead to death. And it came up in my spirit, and I said, your mother has these treatments. I said, is there times that your mom does not feel like doing this? Absolutely. Times she has to set alarms for. She'll be in a store and out and about. She's got to bring the machine with her and hook up. If she doesn't, Pastor Mike, she'll get sick and she'll die. I said, that's exactly how you need to treat word and prayer. We don't feel like doing it, but if we don't do it, we're going to struggle way more. I don't feel like waking up and doing dialysis, but I have a revelation. If I don't, things will be way worse. I don't feel like taking time to hook up to that machine, but if I don't, things will be way worse. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's the way it is with Christians. If you'll renew your mind to the power and the benefits that speaking in tongues will do for you, that the feelings will say, it doesn't matter how I feel. I got to take this medicine of the Spirit, because if I don't, it's going to be really bad. Right. And this is the truth. Amen. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, if you're here and you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, you can come forward if you've never been. We'll lay hands on you, ask God to fill you. He'll do His part, and then you'll do your part. You open your mouth, and out of your belly, tongues will flow out. Praise God. If you say, I don't want to do that tonight, well, then get your faith built up on it and do it sometime. I did it in my apartment on my own. But the second thing is, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you've had that experience, ladies and gentlemen, this needs to be daily. It's communication with the Father. That'll be daily. You charge your battery daily in your phone. At least I do, because when I use it a lot. Now, maybe if you're just a Christian that wants to sit around and do nothing for God, well, you don't need to be filled with much power, but that's disobedience, because He told you to go. He told you to go. So do it, do it, do it. So tonight, in closing, for the next 10 minutes until 8 o'clock, we're going to be doers of the Word. And we're going to have some charge-up time. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you could just sit there and worship God in English. Or you say, I want to get involved in this. You come forward, we'll be praying in tongues, and we'll get you filled. Amen? So let's take the time right now to tank up. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to get charged up. You said when we speak in tongues, we're edified, building ourselves up. So Father, we plug in right now in Jesus' name. No sanda mate de sete. No sadare se meto tosotro. Yesa ramase te so coho to the sante mescota. Yetanda hato shono masitisata. Eta la masca torasapa. Yela masa trasa blama meteke. O bramamasa te lo socota la hate le se. Le mete son dora sambatara socota sharete. Yela mahata satoto. Yela mese te lo sotolaba. Yela masa te no corra masa teteke. Yena Masa tasha tokoto. Yes, abata sataloso tototo. Yeah, being a faith giant comes way easier when you're full. Yeah, being a faith giant comes way easier when you're full. La pese doto sotro. La pasata de se meco tosoto. Alla masa tescorto shanare se descoto. Oh, mrama de se toro so comba hatele. Nese drema cota na sinkiti. Yeta la se keto mokoto soto. Landa masukun hare se tetoso. Leta mato sotro sahelete. Yuno moso koto da sadrama masa trai. Lo se tesco tromba hate testete. Lota nala te sendota sanda lasate. Rosandata sate sedo toso roma. Lo cemento coma hate le seque. Le soto shandala tesco tortata. Le mata sate a lo toco sote. Le tasara besetora. La salanisa no sanasa delo. Le namota ha la teso co. Lota matisa andra batesco to. Yuloneta la mesco. Lota shaha yesato yesato mata la mate so combate segetete votagne to moho tora shante sete leso cotto yeso cotto yeso cotta nasata lesa matare sembeto late ne messe pete lo macate setoto lete zelemento to ada sete Hara sete, vota adlisa mata, yeta makoto sotondonomo, illa mate le sengeteto, Now brande tunkushata esato esato tasha eta sota santo yonasaina maeta kota la shinama leta mahota na sekieta veronda si mara sedo leda vasando lo socorro basete namra masete se lo sata satiskata lo banda sekete lo sambate sekete yuno nosha na heta hena Epato soko mata seto to. O rande se fe. O romotasete. Lesando sotala. Latisero. Latisero. Latisendeto socombratas que tesco tro. Indofoso. Lande mese. Latisete. O endramasito. Esa brasoco. Entoma hate le secoto, yuda maseto shora mamasiti, vero sande, vero sande, vero sande, rata se mete se bebe, bama mama sate ke, papa pasa tata, pasa papa toso po, na pasate se mekete, otara siti masata, esa matosko tosko tro. Pasatraba se que te se, losa quita sata shato, opra masca tesquete, leso tosco romasete, dosande, otasi, la sento, yisam bande seto, yota las que te socoto, lasates que tres que teso, losa mato sotalame, losa mata sotalame, Ero sada senga tosoto, li sabato, ada sendo, ada seta la sopa, indomosota la sente che, laza vita namascota sa, o para sarede, le me soconda la satata, lata se veco toshita ma, yuhama hayeto comata, yesa fatobo, la nemendo sondra mede, lende mende nemeso tosata, Lesa tasco todare secreto so rabocoto, lande sengeto toscado la vascoto, la pasequeto, revesedo masado, la de mesedo noscoto, esa aramaso toso, aramaseteso, la de sendaro socota, la tasete, in tu la massa de vesopa la seta. Vora di sa deve soto, bondra kata di soto, l'embanca rasa e sondasi, va trese betoso, mada de sondara. Entro in tu in dishan, tal fane, mo hutare se che te se, lo sa de, lo sa dosca toscotro, nao brasente de, o pra papa sapante, mero sanda, vera besse, vera besse, mosa lette la sete, osa la masco tosho, in no masele, in masele, la se velota, masaredesche, lo scatarasca, mesa cotoso, landa masede, la sede, vosa rambambate se. Ota la besiti mesquetese, romba sete, ha ha ha, eso toscopante, no rotese, no rotese, vondra masiti, dora masodo, yeso, yesando, Yes, ando. Yes, ando nasa. Ha ha la sete se. Oh nasara masoto ko. Le sabado sola mesede. Le seveto dosota la nemese, la mese, la mese, la mese, la mese, la mese, la mesendo eto la de sete. Voro mase, voro mase, volo mase, voro mase, mara sedede, lo sane sengete, lota late, va la masuto, e co masi ataro, vete semeto o bala sende, una masha ata breta sote neme, lo macate sete, e satascoto. Oh, Brahma Masete. Oh, Brahma Masete. Father, we thank you for giving us an avenue to be filled with you, to go out with miraculous power, efficiency, might, and ability. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, let me just mention this. You know, this morning I woke up and I worked out a little bit. You know, I didn't feel like doing it, but I put the time in. And, you know, some mornings you feel a little bit better than others. And I was doing a machine, and so I was able to set, you know, the time and speed or whatever that I normally do. And I do the same on days I feel like doing it and days I don't feel like doing it. But even though I didn't feel like doing it today, I still put the time in and still got the benefits. Amen? You got to realize spiritual activities, your flesh and your mind are always going to fight it. Because those are the things that are anti-God, and you have to rail them in. You got to renew your mind and put your flesh under. Amen? Amen? I love you all so much. You're so dear and precious to me and to your Father. God's good. We got Christmas coming. Amen? Amen? We'll see who's been naughty and nice. Santa comes around or not, but we'll see. But have a great rest of your week. We'll see you Sunday morning. You are dismissed.